this country, you gotta make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
This is Money Talks.
We're back. It's Money Talks. I'm Bill Lako with Matt Hames, Dr. Gene Hensler, Troy Harmon. We're here. We have not answered any questions, but we're going to.
But we have one
right
now. I've got one here from Matt. This is from Stephen from Jasper. My wife and I are looking at long-term care policies, and one agent mentioned to us that we could get a spousal rider. Basically, we'll get one policy. It'll cover both of us, because the chances that we will need care at the same time are slim. Is this a good idea? It seems too good to be true.
Well, the rule of thumb in insurance is if it seems too good to be true, it oftentimes is.
Right.
Just because you got to be careful. And long-term care is one of those things that, you know, from a product perspective, I'll tell you, and I don't mean this in a negative way, and it's going to come out wrong or come out bad, but long-term care typically has to be sold. It's rarely bought. If you haven't had someone that's dealt with a long-term care claim or a parent that's gone through a situation, this stuff is sold. So you have to parse this stuff very carefully. But generally, these riders are not a bad thing. You know, what he's hearing is right. I mean, typically, it's rare that you're going to have both husband and wife or both spouses go through a claim at the same time. So they're not a bad thing. Typically, though, you need to know that dollar for dollar, they're about 15% more expensive than a straight basic policy when you add this rider to it. Again, not a bad thing, but you just need to be aware of it. But
well, the deal is, and this I assume is still the same, and that is that men spend very little time in a nursing home or those kind of facilities.
Well, that's the big misconception, right? Yeah, it's true. And the
reality
is,
women take care of them. They're caregivers.
Well, that's true, but the truth of things is that the average long-term care claim is actually not very long.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, everybody worries about nursing home, and am I going to be that person in the nursing home that nobody comes and visits as I wither for 20 years? It's actually a very short window of time based on statistics and numbers. Certainly that happens, but yeah, Gene, I mean, it's not as
much
long.
Less. The woman is is much longer. So if
that's true. Yeah.
You're right. So, mm-hmm. I mean, a woman, basically, if her husband is dead, she's got no one looking after her. She'll be in a nursing home or a care facility, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Intermediate care, anything, however you want to call it. But, you know, from these things, you know, typically we look at this for people who are 65 or older and look at their long-term care options. The thing that's good about having one policy with a spousal rider is it really does force the couple and their planner. So, for example, if we have clients that we have this conversation with here, it really forces them, instead of just buying coverage and assuming it's going to be taken care of, doing it this way really does take, well, let's focus in on what we need. Let's do the planning. Because from our perspective here at Hensler, I mean, as we talk about from time to time, the difference between what you can afford to spend average annually over your life expectancy, your maximum spending versus what you're actually spending, the size in that gap drives whether or not you do need long-term care insurance.
That's exactly right.
So this exercise is a healthy one, and the important thing is to get somebody you know and trust to give you straight answers on it.
Yeah, because it does force you into doing the planning.
It does. Yeah, it requires it.
And if you know, if you've saved a lot and you're going to leave your kids in an estate and all that sort of stuff, chance of needing this policy is not very high. But for those people who are living on the edge.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You just barely got enough money to... Yeah, if you do the plan, just enough money to retire, why don't we buy what we buy? And here's a question I got for you. Should they buy them when they're 55 or they should buy it at 65?
55.
They should buy it younger?
Yeah, we get this question a lot, Gene, because what they say is, well, you know what? I'll just wait. I'm in pretty good health. I'll wait. But if you don't think the insurance carriers have figured that out, they price it in. You're not going to save money by waiting. You may put off spending money.
Right.
But the odds of you having a claim, an event, a need, they factor it all in. So if there's a potential risk, if you don't think you're going to have enough money to self-insure, you need to have this conversation. But you need to have it with a CFP who doesn't sell insurance so that they can coordinate with you as you deal with someone who does sell it.
There you go.
Which is what is basically what we've got here. We've got the associates and the planners that can have the conversation, run the numbers, and then we've got Jim that's really good at dissecting these products and putting them in place correctly.
Yep.
So how do they reach us? Shameless self-promotion.
Shameless self-promotion.
Self-promotion business.
Yeah, so. Same number you gave out, 770-429-9166.
One more time, a little slower.
770-429.
Good country boy.
9166.
All right, so, Troy, we had a question from Kent from Fairmont.
Yeah, says, I own both Colgate Palmolive and Eli Lilly and Company. I think at one time you recommended them, but they're not in your favor as conglomerates. We don't hold them currently. I will give him that. Colgate Palmolive doesn't really need an introduction. They're basically toothpaste. They also have a dog nutrition division. I really didn't know that at the time, but 85% of their business comes from, or their revenues comes from the toothpaste side of things, oral, personal, and home care is the segment they call that. But believe it or not, it's been slowing down, and it's done it in the last 3 or 4 years. I would have also thought that our domestic economy fueled most of their revenues, but it only makes up 18%. Latin America counts for 27%.
Yeah, and the growth, and the growth too.
Right, yeah, and it's more profitable as well. So what's been happening lately, though, is that growth has been slowing. So Latin America and Europe have both slowed down.
As countries develop,
right,
they move to these kind of things that they haven't used in the past.
Right, yeah. So I don't know if it's a slowing in the development or if it's just tied to the economics of the situation.
But you don't see a lot of growth here.
I don't. And the biggest thing as I look through this stock is it's got loads of debt. The debt-to-equity ratio, 536%. I was blown away by that.
Well, that's a shocker to me.
Right, yeah. It pays a decent dividend. 2.3%. It's not the best of dividends.
What's the coverage?
It's covered 1.68 times, so it's well covered. But they have a boatload of debt. I really would, obviously we don't own it.
A financial rating on it. I can't see how it would be carry a good financial strength.
Well, it's because of the everything's so well covered. I think they continue to do with it, and the return on equity obviously gets juiced by that big borrowing as well. I prefer to own Procter & Gamble at this time, to be honest with you. So, if you're holding it and wondering what we would do, that's what we would do.
Sell it and buy Procter & Gamble?
Absolutely. Eli Lilly is the other one that you've asked about. Obviously, they have a lot of goings-on in the pharmaceutical business. They got a few things going on right now that they've got a diabetes drug that really is not expected to succeed, but they're not going to get beaten up by it because nobody else's diabetic drug is succeeding as well. And they've got another thing going on that a drug they're developing called Sola for Alzheimer's. And it actually has a lot of promise, but it's really too early to say. So, really,
does that prevent Alzheimer's or stops its speed of decline?
Right, yeah. So the thing of it is they've got a real good pipeline right now and good options with the pipeline they have because a lot of times develop
anything to do with a female Viagra drug that's getting turned down.
I couldn't speak to that particular one, but I have heard
it's a little
that
pink pill.
Is that what it is? Nothing blue. You got to be careful.
We're not going down that road.
Sounds like
put my foot down right now.
All right, Bill sat up in his chair. Last segment of the show. Here
going.
We go.
I know where this is going. You'll stop it before it gets there.
They're expected to grow at about 8.26%.
Okay.
It's not bad growth, but for the pharmaceutical industry, when you think about what we own now with Celgene, expected to grow at 26%. You're going to be better off with a company
a bigger dividend here in Italy.
You get the dividend is 2.5%, covered 1.13 times. So it's covered, but it's not.
Not
blowing it away.
Does Celgene pay any dividend?
Celgene is that's a good question, Gene. And
I don't think it does.
I don't believe so. I don't think any of the biopharms are paying one right now. So, but still, you'd rather have that growth. If you look at how performance has been relative to its business segment, Celgene's pretty much blown everybody away, and continues to do that. He's continued to expected to do that. So I would rather have somebody like Celgene instead of an Eli Lilly. Okay. Not a horrible company. Both of them meet both Eli Lilly and.
It's sort of like a little bit in the tech area where the Intels and the Microsofts are getting along and they're making some money and they're having some growth and they figured out that they got their share of market. But if you're looking for big growth, you're not going to find it in those companies.
That's true. Yeah.
You're going to find it in
mature.
Smaller ones or Google or
Apple,
that kind of stuff. So there's nothing wrong with these except there's alternatives within that sector with the same amount of financial strength.
And better growth.
And better growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Easy question. Up.
I'm telling you.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Up.
Market
what
up.
About you?
Yeah.
Market?
Up.
All right, really?
Yeah,
you know what?
Absolutely.
Who cares? I usually say
but
I'm saying who cares?
I got 10 years. I don't care.
And remember, Bill Lako for HOA president. We'll see you next week.
At the ring.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.